All right. I want to just say I am thrilled and glad that Miss Pouts did not come over and check my room this morning. I'm telling you, I don't think you get away with anything with her. I'm telling you, that's pretty serious. A couple of years ago, my son went to teen camp as a junior, and he got sick in the middle of the night, and he threw up. And so the counselor went, and he was just really sick, probably, I think, in fifth grade. And so the counselor just said, just go to the other end of the bed and lay there. And so he was just sick. So they didn't clean it up. They didn't do anything. Just went to the other end, laid there. Next day, the camper got up, and the counselor said, we'll just flip everything. So they flipped it. And all week, the cabin cleanup, they kept saying, there is an odor in this cabin. You've got to get rid of it. Well, I don't know what the odor is, you know. But hopefully you're doing a great job. Some of you getting started there with the cabin cleanup. That is a lot of fun to get involved in. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. What time does this end? Noon. Okay. 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be quick about this. I want you to, as soon as you get there, would you stand with me as we read a couple of verses this morning? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Notice with me in verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard, and when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Notice verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Father, I pray that you would help me, Lord, to be quick, and Lord, to say what I need to say. And Father, I pray that today that you might move in and to, Lord, speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Have you ever seen somebody who did something way before their time? Maybe there was, I remember going to a conference, and it was a conference at Bob Jones University. It was a basketball conference there where they had pulled some of the better teams out of each state. And I remember a team that was in the final championship, and they had their point guard was a seventh grader. Kid you not. Kid couldn't have been this tall. But he handled a ball like it was unbelievable. And I mean, he played defense, and it was no, if he had 18 steals, I mean, that night, it would be very close. I mean, he was just all over. And here we are in this major university. They've got this championship. It was a team from, I think, somewhere in like Stone Mountain, Georgia, that was in the Final Four. And this little kid, like, I mean, you know, this kid, it's like, hey, excuse me, shouldn't you be like in the fifth graders or playing for the fourth graders? But here's this little kid, and he was playing, he was on defense against the other point guard, and every time you turn around, it's another steal and another steal, and he just had hands that were lightning quick, and he's just going around and making passes and just feeding the ball off, and he wasn't scoring. He did maybe one or two shots scoring, but just, you just watched him and you're just saying, man, he's way before his time. I mean, he should be, the way he's handling the ball. I remember last year in our church, we had a, throughout the country, there was a story that was run on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, the Today Show. We had a lady in our church that was expecting, and, in her house, she was all alone with her 8-year-old daughter. And some complications took place, and this 8-year-old daughter calls 911 and delivers the baby. And they were just shocked that an 8-year-old was so calm and collected and in this emergency situation. Just watch this, had the maturity and the development to do something great that no one expected her to do. Every now and then you see a teenager like David who kind of just blows everybody out of the water, just kind of shocks them because he does the unexpected. There's a giant named Goliath. Goliath steps out on the battlefield. On one side is the Philistines. On the other side are the Israelites. And it seems that the Philistines are calling the shots. Goliath stands out. As Goliath comes out, he's going to stand over 9 feet tall. I would say that this podium is probably maybe 2.5 feet, maybe something like that, 24 inches. I'm not quite 6, but just think of maybe Goliath. If there was a man standing here, he would be taller than my hands. So just imagine this giant that comes out named Goliath, who defies the army of God and the name of God, and he wants to fight a champion. And here's what he says: you send out a champion and I'll fight him. If I win, every one of you become our servants. And that's the battle. And if he kills me, then we'll become your servants. And that's the end of the battle. So here is Eliab and here is Saul, and they hear the words, and all the soldiers, they kind of have fear that is guiding their heart. They have fear that is governing their life. By the way, the many times the reason we don't step up to the plate, the many times we don't serve God, is simply one reason: we're afraid to do so. So here he roars and he shouts and they hide, but there's a young boy that comes on the battlefield, probably around 15 years of age, maybe 16 years of age. And as he comes to battle, I want you to notice here that he is overlooked and he's also underestimated. The reason he's overlooked is because of his age and because of his size. You'll notice in verse 28, the first one that's going to kind of belittle him is his older brother. By the way, older brothers have a tendency to do that, don't they? So they belittle him, and he says, I know the naughtiness of your heart, and where's those few sheep, and what's going on? And David is surprised by the attack of his older brother. Instead of encouragement, there's an attack. It's another thought, but it's an interesting thought. Then the words are heard throughout the camp of David as David says, hey guys, don't let your heart fear. I mean, he's just a Philistine. He's nothing. We could take him. I mean, he doesn't walk with God. And these words are brought before Saul. And notice here, David is going to rehearse those words in verse 32. So here's the words. Let me say it this way. The faith of David, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go fight with this Philistine." Now notice, I want you to notice with me in verse 33, Saul's response. Everybody got your Bible? All right, pay attention. Look at verse 33. Notice what Saul says to David. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight." You're not able, David. You can't do it. You can't live for God. You can't fight for God. You just don't have the ability. I mean, you're just a shepherd boy. He underestimated him, didn't he? And notice what he says. "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a," what's the next word? You're a punk. You're a kid. You're a teenager. I mean, you're not even old enough to be in the army. And then notice what he says about Goliath. "And he, a man of war from his," what? "You." You know what he's saying? You can't fight this guy. I mean, you're just a teenager, and you need to understand, you're just a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. He's got more experience. He's got more strength. He's got more battlefield. He knows what he's doing. David, you don't. But notice here in verse 34 that David's going to give some insight of what God has been doing in his life. And notice in verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept thy father's sheep." Okay. So you're a shepherd boy. Well, no. That's not the rest of the story. "And there came out a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Can I just be honest with you? I've been in some houses and I have been in some teenagers' rooms. To be honest with you, I've never stepped into a 12-year-old's room and had this conversation. "What's that on your wall?" "Oh, that's a bear." "You got a bear mounted on your wall?" "Yeah." "Where'd you buy that at?" "I didn't buy it." "Well, where'd you get the bear mounted on your wall?" "Oh, I slew him." 12 years old, man. You don't just kill a bear when you're 12 years old. Everybody understand this? Does everybody understand this? Then my next question would be this. So what gun do you use? A 30-30, 30-06, 7mm? I mean, what'd you use to take him down? "Oh no, you don't understand. He had a lamb in his mouth, and I was in his paw. And we wrestled, and I killed him with my bare hands." Everybody getting the story? I mean, it's kind of hard to just swallow. I mean, you almost want to say, "Yeah, right, buddy." "Oh, no. And once you finally get over the bear story, look at this wall. "Well, where'd you get the lion?" "Oh, when I was 11, I killed the lion." "Oh, yeah, right." And I'm sure you just kind of probably grabbed him by his beard and slew him. Yeah, that's how it happened. No, it's not how it happened. No, really, it's what happened. A lion came out, and I grabbed the lion with my bare hands, and at the age of 11 or 12, I slew a lion and I slew a bear. And I'm the only 11 and 12-year-old that's got these things mounted on the wall. Maybe it wasn't mounted on the wall. Maybe it had just like this little bear thing hanging around it, you know. Some tail dragging around. Everybody's like, "David, where'd you get the lion, you know, the lion paw?" And then, you know, just out watching sheep, buddy. Happens all the time, you know. Would everybody agree with me that that's not the normal story of most 11 and 12-year-old young people? You just don't walk into their room and see a bear and a lion mounted on their wall. Hey, I want you to catch something. I want you to listen to me. I don't know what these bears and lions represent. I don't want to get real deep and say, well, according to the Bible, the bear represents blah, 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 and the lion represents blah, blah, blah. I don't know what it represents, but I want you to hear me when I do know what it does. One thing is for sure is that the bear and the lion, when they came into David's camp, when they came among David's flock, had one intention, and that was to take and to steal from David. This bear and this lion, they were planning to steal from David. They were planning to rob him. As a matter of fact, David would make it very careful, very clear to us when he says, hey, listen, when I killed the lion, the sheep was in its mouth. When I went after the bear, they had it in this paw. You need to understand that when they came in to rob and to steal and to kill and to take away the very things that God had placed in my care. And here I am watching sheep, and you need to understand something, that bear and that lion was coming in and was taking it out. Can I say this? That I'm reminded of things that do steal and kill and destroy in our life. Can I tell you this? That sin in your life will kill you and steal from you. Can I remind you that some of you have some habits, some of you have some things going on in your life that you think you can live with, and you need to understand that sin is only going to destroy you. Some of you may have some situations. There are probably some young people right here in this room, right here in this room, who this summer your parents are going through a divorce. The truth is it's like a bear just coming to your camp and it's just ripping you apart. Some of you are trying to serve God and you've got some friends that are making fun of you. I remember one time taking a girl home from church on a Sunday night, trying to get involved, trying to get serving the Lord. And I remember her dad coming out drunk, seeing his own daughter get off the van. And I remember the dad picking up bricks and throwing them at his daughter. She came to the house. She was like, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, what are you doing going to church? And he's throwing a brick at her. And I finally looked at her and said, hey, get in the van. Get back in the van. Now she's running. Bricks are hitting the side of the van. Her drunk father cursing his own daughter. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you may not create the bear. Sometimes you may not ask for the bear. But there are situations that will come in your life. And if you don't deal with that bear, it's going to rob you of something in your life that God's put there. I do know of a verse that says that we have an enemy whose name is Satan, who is like a roaring lion. You know what he wants to do? He wants to walk about seeking whom he may devour. 2 weeks ago, my son and I and a couple of the men from our church went to Yosemite National Park. We did a 90-mile track on what's called the John Muir Trail over some mountains and things like that. And as we did this backpacking hike, by law, we were required to take our food, all of our food, with us in what's called a bear can. How many's ever heard of a bear can? I was not familiar with a bear can, and they told me you have to have a bear can. Bear can is simply a can. You can get them different sizes, but they're all round cylinders. They're made so that a bear, although he can smell the food, he cannot get to the food. And here's what they tell you about survival. They tell you this, that you're okay with your food. And you need to understand something about bears, that bears have the ability to really sense and smell food miles and miles away. And once they smell your food or they get that scent, they'll come to your camp and they'll find that. They'll find that bear can, and they tell you, don't put your bear can in your tent. He'll destroy it. But he'll get to that, and he'll play with it, and he'll know that there's something there. But here's what they say saves your life. As long as the bear does not taste your food, you're okay. He may come in and kick the bear can and play with it, roll it around. But when he knows he can't get to it, once he knows that he cannot have it, he'll leave it. Now here's the danger. Here's what they tell you. They tell you that if the bear gets a taste of it, that he becomes extremely aggressive. And as he gets a taste of your food, listen to me, He will track you down and continue to track you down and continue to track you down and continue to track you down. And he will destroy you. He will kill you. He will destroy everything about you until he knows that he has devoured everything you have. And once he gets a taste, listen to me, he will not stop coming after you. Now you getting the picture? Ah, it's one lamb. It's one lamb today. Tonight when I'm sleeping, and by the way, you know when the bears come? I learned this real quickly. They do not come in the day. They come when you're asleep. They come at night. And you hear them just walking through your camp. All I need is a taste, and I'll always be after you. The ranger told us this. They said, let me just remind you about this. If a bear does get into your food, we do have to kill it because it won't stop. Is everybody getting this? You know what David said about the bear? David understood this. Listen to me. David understood this about the bear. He said, I took a lamb out of the mouth of the lion, out of the mouth of the bear. He understood that once that bear got a taste, it just wouldn't be one time. It'd be again and again and again and again and again. And I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me, young person. When we understand what sin is all about, look right up here and listen to me. Because some of you have allowed a bear to come in. And you said, oh, it's just one lamb. It's just one drag. It's just one drink. Just one friend. It's just one internet. Just one clip of pornography. And you know what you found out? You found out that the bear, once he got a taste, he kept coming back. Well, I just do it one time with my boyfriend. Hey, it never stops there. The bear's coming back. And he comes, 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 and he keeps coming, and he keeps coming, and he takes one sheep, and another sheep, and another sheep, and one area, and another area of life, before he strips you completely of everything God has placed in your life. And I have sat with a teenager who has wept and said, dear Brother Nance, I don't know how to stop it. I can't shut it down. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to fight it. They raise up the white flag and they just say, well, you know what? I try to fight the bears and I try to fight the lions and they just keep coming back and they just keep coming back and they just keep coming back. I like David. At 11 years old, can I just say something? God was not cruel when he allowed a bear to come into his life. Do not think God is cruel because you've had some bears and lions. He's not cruel. You know what the park ranger kept telling us? Hey, don't get super hyper about the bears. If you'll just, here's what he said. If you just follow my word, keep everything sealed in that bear canister. If you just do what I say, you'll never have to worry about bears. If some of you would just follow the word of God, you wouldn't have to worry about bears. Say, well, they came in my camp. Yeah, you know what? You're not dealing with it right. Now, I want you to catch this. Listen to me, young person. Here is David, who had as a teenager the ability to fight bears and lions. And I would encourage you, some of you are 13, some of you are 14, some of you are 15, and you've had some bears that have come into your life, and they've been stealing sheep and stealing lambs. Some of you need it this week. Here's exactly what you need to do. You need to stand up in your heart, and you need to stand up in your life, and you need to say, that's it. You need to put a sign out. You need to get a bear gun, and you need to say, no more bears allowed. By the way, you know exactly what bears are stealing your sheep. You know exactly what's coming in your life. And I want to challenge you this week that you start fighting for your faith. Now, I want you to catch something, and I'm going to move quick. I want you to catch this, that not only was there a fight in David's life that he had to develop, but number two, I want you to catch this. that David not only had a fight he had to develop, but he had a faith he had to develop. And in God's will and in God's way and through God's word, God was working out David's faith. Now, let me give you a definition of faith. Everybody listen to me. If you've got a pen, write this down, all right? Because it's a real deep, deep definition of what faith is. Faith is simply obeying God. Everybody else, I thought it was going to be deep. Oh, it is deep. Just obey God. Well, there's a lion coming in and he's taking a sheep. What should I do? Obey God. Just follow the Bible. Just do what's right. And I would encourage you that as you follow God and as you begin to obey God, hey, listen. Some of you got an internet problem. You know what you need to do? Instead of living a lie, just walk in grace and truth and start obeying God. You'll be amazed at how God can give you victory if you just simply choose to do right. By the way, peace does not come in knowing what's right. Peace comes in doing what's right. So a lot of you know what's right. And you're still arguing, well, should I do this or do that? Should I go this way? You know what's right, but peace only comes when you do what's right, not when you know what's right. So I want to encourage you, listen to me, that God is developing in you a faith and the ability to defeat the lion and the bear. Now, in First Samuel chapter 17, can anybody tell me what this story is all about? Yes, sir. David and Goliath. It's about David and Goliath. Would everybody also understand that when David, as probably 16 years old, listen to me, as David, as 16 years old, stands up and kills Goliath and cuts off his head, can you imagine those teenagers out on the battlefield? Here he comes running with a slingshot. Goliath is just mocking him and belittling him, calling him a dog and just kind of all these kind of things. And I can see Saul and Eliab and the other brothers over there going, oh man, what's going on? We're in trouble. We're going to lose this one. It's done. Can you imagine when David kills him, stands on top of him, the Bible says, pulls out his sword, whacks his head off. Probably took more than just one whack. And he reaches down and he picks up the head of the giant standing on top of the body of Goliath, and everybody screams and yells and cheers and hollers, and all of the Israelites get out of their trenches and they run and they're like, you're dead meat, we're coming after you, you Philistines. And here they come just to run. Can everybody see this picture? And everybody says, watch this. Man, I wish I could be like David and kill a Goliath. And we often preach about Goliath. Hear me. I want everybody to hear me when I say this. Probably one of the most important things I'll say all week long. Is everybody listening? Is everybody awake? Is everybody looking? Listen to what I'm going to say. You will never have victory in the public arena until you first have victory in the private areas of your life. I wish I could kill a Goliath. I wish I could defeat the giants in my life. You're not going to defeat any giant in your life until you first deal with the lion and the bear. Now, here's what some of you have thought. Listen to me. Here's what some of you have thought. Some of you have thought, well, I'll kill the Goliath and I can learn to live with the bear. It doesn't work that way. Until you deal with your private life, you'll never have victory in the public life. By the way, you know why most of our youth groups do not have any power with God in the public arena? Is because they don't have any power with God in the private area of their life. If you don't learn how to defeat the bear in your life, and by the way, every one of you know what the bears are. And they keep coming.
If you don't get victory in the private areas of your life, if you don't learn how to kill the bear, if you don't learn how to kill the lion, you'll never hold the head of Goliath up on the battlefield. This must come first. Does everybody understand that? This must come first. Now I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. You know what David had that nobody else had? He had a personal reference point to the power and the ability of God. Notice with me. I'm really hurrying. Look with me if you would. 1 Samuel 17, notice with me in verse 37. Verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this what? Philistine. Have you ever been? I'm an older guy, so I've done a lot of teen activities. And I love it. One of my great joys being a pastor and a youth pastor is when we take youth groups to a place that has some serious roller coasters, and then you find out the teenager who their greatest roller coaster experience has been the merry-go-round. And they walk up and they look at this roller coaster and it's like, and they watch everybody strap them in, run the duct tape around 12 times. We've never had an incident on this roller coaster ever before. Well, why'd you use all that on me, man? I'm scared to death now. Once you're clicked in, you can't breathe. Then it kind of, you know, hoists you up like, chink, you know. I haven't been to SeaWorld on Manta. Kicks you up, you know, whatever. And you know the guy that's been on it 30,000 times who says this? Ah, man, this is nothing. I mean, this is nothing. I mean, you come close, that close to death, but it's nothing. I mean, it's nothing. No big deal. And then you got the other guy who's never been on a roller coaster, and he's like, are you serious, man? It's nothing? That's nothing. I don't think I can do it. He's getting green. How many love that? Getting green, lightheaded. Then the thing breaks down and you have to wait another 20 minutes. We've never had an incident on this, but we just lost part of the roller coaster if it flew off. No problem, we've got another one in the back. And I don't think I can do this. Man, it's no problem. I've been on this thing 1,000 times. I love this thing. You're going to have a blast. I don't think I can. I'm getting sick. Hey, just trust me.
Okay, I'll trust you, but I don't want to go.
Then they put him in. 6 foot, 180 pounds, 200 pounds, crying like he's in third grade.
That's not a good idea. I want to get off. Can I hold your hand?
No, you can't hold my hand. Grow up, man.
I'm scared.
Shut up. Should have never brought that teddy bear to camp. That was your problem. Wait, listen to me. You spend 30 minutes telling him it's okay. Then once he rides it, you know what he says? Man, the best ride ever. We got to do this all day long. Whoa. You know what he just got? He just got a personal reference point to what the ride was about. Listen to me. You know what God's trying to do in your life? He's trying to give you a personal reference point of his ability. David had something that Saul and Eliab did not have. Some of you are getting this message, some of you are not. But David had something that they didn't have. They came to this and they said, man, you can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do this. There's no way we can win on the battlefield. There's just no way. He's too good. He's too big. He's been a champion from his youth. And David said, no. You don't understand, man. I've already been riding roller coasters. Man, God sent a lion and a bear. And the Lord delivered me out of that. Man, I know what it is to have a problem in this area, and God delivered me. And I know what it is to argue with your parents and be angry and bitter all the time, and God delivered me. And I know what it is to be addicted to pornography, and God delivered me. And I know what it is to steal and to lie, and I've got a lying problem and a stealing problem, and God delivered me. And there came a bear, and God delivered me. And there came a lion, and God delivered me. And man, I've watched him deliver me out of the lion and out of the bear. And this Philistine, he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine also. Watch this. If there's any deliverance this week, God must do it. And you know what David said? The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. He delivered me out of the paw of the bear. And he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Man, David, how do you have such great faith? Because I've got a foundation. God allowed me when I was 12 to go through a fight, the fight of my life. It almost killed me. But God delivered me from the bear. God delivered me from the lion. Hey, listen to me. You know what we have in this? We have some young people who are standing up, and you're hearing the Goliath roar, and you know why you sit in your pew and you say, I don't think I can make a decision for God. Because you haven't dealt with the bear and the lions already in your life. This week, get victory in the private area of your life. So you'll have victory in the public arena of your life. Some of you, you need to come down and you need to say this. God, I'm a 12-year-old boy, and it's a lion. I don't have a chance, man. You've got to deliver me from the lion. And God, you know what that bear has on me? He's been coming after me, and I can't fight and kill that bear, but you can deliver me from the bear. God, I need you this week to deliver me from the bear and deliver me out of the paw of the lion. Say, brother, that's what will happen. I'll tell you what will happen. A couple months, you'll come back and you'll be a totally different creature. Can I share one quick story? 2010. I don't know the boy's name. 2010. I was able to preach here at this camp. About Wednesday night, I had a boy that caught me down here after everybody left. I mean, everybody left. He caught me and he said this. He said, Brother Nance, I need to talk to you. I said, sure. He said, can you pray with me about something? I said, sure. I said, what is it? He just started crying. He said, pornography controls my life. He said, my dad doesn't know about it. My dad thinks I'm a good kid. Other people think I'm a good kid. They have no idea how deep I'm in. And I'm scared because I don't know how to get out. I prayed with him and I gave him some verses, told him some things to do, told him how to get victory. But I'm telling you, he literally wept. I think it was probably Wednesday night or Thursday night. He just sat up here and just wept and said, I'm tired of it. It's ruining my brain, it's ruining my life. It's just, I'm addicted to it. 2011. I came back and preached in 2011. Same boy came, met me on Monday night. Brother Nance, I'm so glad you're here. I said, man, good to see you. I couldn't remember his name. He said, you remember me talking to you last year on Thursday night? Yeah. I said, you remember the problem I was struggling with? I said, yeah. I said, how you doing? He said, man, I've got so much victory in my life. So I told my dad, I got some counsel. He says, I'm just telling you, it's just, wow, got my joy back. He says, it's awesome. He said, man, I'm looking forward to this week of camp. I mean, I'm just excited about this week of camp. Totally different kid. You know what happened? 2010, 2010, he went home and he killed a bear by the help of God. Listen to me. You'll never kill the Goliath until you first kill the bear. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.